June is annual Pride Month, which is an important opportunity to celebrate and stand in solidarity with the LGBTQ plus communities in the UK and across the world. The West London Queer Project is a non-profit community interest company driven by the desire to connect, support and give voice to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer and other sexual and gender identifying people across West London. My name is Lucy Mayer and I've been speaking with the project's founder, Aubrey Crawley.
I'm Aubrey Crawley and I'm the founder and CEO of West London Queer Project.
OK, so for the listeners who don't know, what is the West London Queer Project and how did it come about?
So we are a non-profit organisation that seeks to improve the lives of West London's LGBT plus community. It was during the middle of the lockdown when I was approached by a local pub to help promote an evening, which when I got there, I thought that their idea wasn't going to work, but it was an amazing venue. So I thought, actually, I could use this for our community. I mean, I had spent the last 25 years watching the LGBTQ, you know, community decline within West London. There's now literally no spaces, no permanent spaces within West London. And when I arrived here from South Africa in 1998, there was a thriving community.
Why do you think that community has been decimated?
For a lot of reasons. I think traditionally what you'd call a gay bar wasn't sustainable for 7 days a week because people would only go out Thursday, Friday and Saturday evenings. Any LGBTQ venues are predominantly taken over by 90% men. And then, you know, with the increase in dating apps and sex apps and everything else, and the cost of living and Brexit and everything else, you know, venues have just disappeared.
Do you also think it's because now I think everybody mixes together? So do you think that's also a reason as to why there may not be that many?
Definitely. And I think it's a good thing that everyone's mixing together. But I also think that people need their spaces, just like women need women-only spaces. So, yeah, definitely.
Can you remember, I'm sure you can, the first event or space that you held and how did it go down?
So what we started doing was a Sunday social in a pub beer garden where we still had to socially distance. One of the good things with COVID was when people were eventually out, they were oversharing because they'd been locked up for so long and no one to talk to. And at that time, people were just giving me ideas about, you know, I miss doing this, I'd love to be able to do this. And just week after week, I thought, oh my goodness, this is actually a project. Because times have changed. People don't just need, you know, dingy old dirty nightclubs to meet people in. So, I mean, that's where the idea came from. And, I mean, now if you look at our offering, we offer everything from touch rugby to football to book club, comedy shows, boat parties. We work with the NHS Recovery and Wellness College. We offer mental health workshops. There's a whole lot that we're doing.
Do people need to be a member? Or if they want to come to an event, how does that work?
Literally just show up. There's no set kind of membership. We refer to our customers as members, I would say. But yeah, just turn up.
You mentioned that you do things with the NHS as well, and it's important to have the larger organisations behind you, isn't it? Because they're essentially the people who will direct people who come to them for help to places in the community that they can go to.
Definitely.
How's that partnership been?
No, it actually has been amazing. So a lot of people aren't actually aware of the Recovery and Wellness College. It's actually the educational arm of the NHS. And historically, they were an internal association for members within the NHS. Now they're outward facing, so anyone from the public can come. And they've got a massive catalogue of the most incredible like workshops we can go to, and they're all free. So the partnership, what we're doing with them, is we're trying to provide kind of bespoke events, because even if we're providing a workshop, my intention is to create spaces where people can also come along and meet. So already this year we did a gay in the 80s writing workshop. We did I can't remember the name of the other one, Creatively Queer. And what's been amazing is you get a room full of strangers, they all rock up and you give them a task to write something. And within half an hour, all these people are just opening their hearts to each other, feeling safe and speaking about mental health and struggles. And it's so important.
That was going to be my next question, because obviously there was a time when being gay was illegal. You've still got people, I would say, maybe in their 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s, who were not able to come out. Do you find that they're coming to you for support?
They're coming to us, coming to our events, a lot of them do, yes. I wouldn't I wouldn't really call it support. I'd call it more community. But yes, that's a huge demographic that was kind of, you know, if you were out in the 80s and you're still alive now, you lost a lot of your friends during that time, you know, and if your family didn't, you know, disown you for being gay. So it's still a big issue that there's not enough community and outreach and spaces for the older generation. And that's definitely another thing that we're looking at.
A lot of our listeners, you know, we have listeners of all ages, but we do have a lot of older listeners as well, simply because we've been around since the 60s. So if you had a message for them, people who are sitting at home and they think, I would love to be involved with that, or I would love to be part of the community, but they just don't have the confidence.
I'm glad you said that, because very often we do advertise, if you'd like to come to one of our events, but you're not feeling confident or you're shy, whatever the case may be, let us know and we'll arrange to meet you at the tube station around the corner half an hour earlier. And we do that, and a lot of people, even young people too. So yeah, get in touch. If you look at our website, wlqp.org, have a look at the different events, send us a message and yeah, we'll get back to you.
There's a lot of hatred, I guess, still for the gay community, but also for the trans community. What are you doing to support them?
First, let me say it's becoming increasingly difficult to navigate all of this, especially like now with it being Pride Month. The amount of homophobia and transphobia, just awful vitriol that we receive online, it's very challenging. It does feel like the world is going backwards. Trans people are the target right now, and it's so unfair. There are so few trans people in the world. You know, it's one of the smallest minority groups. We should be supporting them and uplifting them and, you know, encouraging them to be themselves. And just, you know, this whole Supreme Court ruling, and it's thoughtless. It's taking things backwards. It's actually quite terrifying what's going on. You know, everything that we do is obviously trans inclusive. We do have a lot of trans, I'm going to call them members again, members that are part of our Touch Rugby Club. And I know it's a place that they feel safe and uplifted. And, you know, we will always be there for the trans community. And another thing that's upsetting is, you know, this whole LGB alliance that excluding the T. It's, again, I wish people just knew more about history. And, you know, the trans community were there at the forefront of the gay movement. You know, we've got them to be thankful for so much. And to see how a lot of the rest of the community is trying to isolate them, it's not fair. These are people that I just want to include more people. It's a show of solidarity and kindness, and we should embrace it.
So what events have you got coming up? Because it is Pride Month, but also beyond Pride Month as well. What can people come along to?
So our biggest event of the year is actually this Saturday. This is a 10K walk and celebration, and it's in aid of motor neuron disease. This is the third year that we're doing this event, and when I was planning the first year, a very good friend of mine, Zoe, who's my age, was diagnosed with motor neuron disease. And it was through her diagnosis that I realised how little I knew of this dreadful disease and how little awareness and funding it gets. So I thought, well, we're throwing this big event, why not? Let's turn this into a fundraiser awareness event. So we did. And so now we're partnering with the Motor Neuron Disease Association, and all proceeds will go to the MND Association of West London. Now, this event is amazing. We meet in Lyric Square. We've got a drag queen to get everyone warmed up and ready for the 10K walk. We walk along the Thames in Hammersmith, Chiswick, Barnes, and back to Hammersmith. And we have a massive party in the beer garden with... We've got four drag performers, a DJ, there's food, and it's just, yeah, it's such a celebration. After this Saturday, we have events on almost every day of the week, whether it be, you know, spinning, touch rugby, yoga. But some of the other big events, we've got a Pride Month picnic coming up the following Saturday in Chiswick House and Gardens. We have a comedy show coming up in September, and we have a boat party in September. Because we are a non-profit, so all of these events are normally to help sustain everything else that we're doing, but we do have the one big charity event that we do.